Welcome to day 49 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and the subject is sanctification. The doctrine of sanctification is found in chapter 13 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, but we'll look at the short answer in the shorter catechism question 35. What is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Well, let's look at the first phrase. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace. Notice, in contrast to some of the other doctrines we looked at, which are described as an act of God's free grace, sanctification is here described as a work of God's free grace. And the proof text is 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, a number of theologians have noted that 2 Thessalonians 2:13 seems to be talking about a definitive act that happens at the beginning of the Christian life, where God sets you apart. That's the meaning, actually, of the word sanctification. To sanctify something is to set it apart for God's holy use. And so there's a sense in which this verse and some other verses that we're going to see in our proof texts are actually talking about that act in which God sets the Christian apart for God's use. And it's a definitive act and not a progressive act, and it's therefore an act and not a work. Now, there are also verses which describe sanctification as a work, as a progressive work in the life, the ongoing life of the believer. So that's why theologians have distinguished between definitive sanctification and progressive sanctification, and we've got some resources at the bottom of this blog that you can look at if you want to pursue that distinction. But notice that sometimes we're going to be looking at verses which describe sanctification as a definitive, once-for-all act at the beginning of the Christian life, where God sets the Christian apart. The one who has been effectually called is set apart. And at other points, then, the word is used as a process, as we'll see in some verses, of putting to death the old man and walking in newness of life. And that's a very important concept, one which is widely neglected in our day. A lot of church groups and believers focus only on being saved from hell and going to heaven when they die, but they don't think about sanctification as becoming more and more like Christ in this life. And the Bible actually says that if you're not pursuing holiness, then you won't see the Lord. So it's very important to think about sanctification. Okay, let's look at the next phrase. Speaking now of sanctification as a progressive work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. Ephesians 4:23 and 24, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then finally, sanctification is the work whereby we are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And that good news is found in Romans 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let's move to the larger catechism, question 75, and find out how it answers the question, what is sanctification? Sanctification is a work of God's grace, whereby they whom God hath, before the foundation of the world, chosen to be holy, are, in time, through the powerful operation of His Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased, and strengthened, as that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. Now, the phrase repentance unto life, there's a whole chapter on that. We'll be considering that in a couple of days, but let's go back and look at the proof texts. for each phrase in this answer. What is sanctification? A work of God's grace, whereby they whom God hath before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time through the powerful operation of his Spirit. Let's focus on that. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, that verse seems to be talking about a definitive sanctification. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, which we've already looked at, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Again, thinking about a definitive work, but certainly the powerful operation of the Spirit. It's a work whereby God applies the death and resurrection of Christ unto them. Romans 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. And renewed in their whole man after the image of God. Ephesians 4:23-24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into their hearts. So this is talking about a change of the believer. Acts 11:18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also granted also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And these graces are so stirred up, increased, and strengthened. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Ephesians 3:16-19, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, with which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Colossians 1:10-11, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All these things done so that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let's just read through the Confession of Faith, and I think we'll have time to put the verses in as well. The Confession of Faith, chapter 13, begins section 1. They who are once effectually called, remember we went through that chapter, and regenerated, having a new heart and a new spirit created in them, are further sanctified, really and personally, through the virtue of Christ's death and resurrection, by his word and spirit dwelling in them, the dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified, put to death, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces to the practice of true holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So let's look at the verses. They who are once effectually called and regenerated, having a new heart and a new spirit created in them, are further sanctified, really and personally, through the virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Acts 20:32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Romans 6:5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're sanctified really and personally by his word and spirit dwelling in us. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. And again, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, which we've read. By his word and spirit dwelling in him, the dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed. Again, Romans 6, which we've read, the old man is crucified, the body of sin destroyed, sin shall not have dominion over you, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified, or put to death. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And they are more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Quickened and strengthened to the practice of true holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So this doctrine of sanctification is very important, and we'll continue considering it tomorrow on day 50 of our study.